This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour here on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys, Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day!
Here on Sean and RJ, that is our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. And yesterday there was a column and article that stirred things up, and it came from the Dallas Morning News, written by our good buddy Calvin Watkins.
Yes, the great Calvin Watkins from the Dallas Morning News, part of, honestly, before the Luka Doncic trade, the biggest trade in the history of Dallas sports when he and John Machota were traded for each other at the Athletic in the Dallas Morning News.
And our cigar buddy from the Combine. Did you go with a light, a medium, or a harsher cigar there, Calvin?
I go for strong. I need strong. I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. I need something to calm me down.
Hey, it'll give you a nice little high on there. It'll give you a nice little high. So we had Calvin hanging out for us in Indianapolis. Do the Cowboys have a Micah Parsons problem? Take us inside the article, Calvin.
I think the purpose of the article was to raise this question because there are some issues with Parsons. And I think they do have a problem with Micah Parsons that they have to kind of fix. And they're fixable. The biggest problem is, it seems as if there are people in the organization and it's in the locker room that might have a problem with Micah doing an in-season podcast. Last year, Malik Hooker mentioned it. And then this year, before DeMarcus Lawrence left for Seattle, well, after he left for Seattle, he said, hey, spend less time on Twitter and more spend more time on trying to win. I thought it was a little unfair on to say that to Micah because DeMarcus Lawrence was also part of the 30-year Super Bowl drought. So there's some issues with Micah's in-season activities that have to be addressed. And when you have two players saying it, I think there's more players that care about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the other part is the voluntary workouts. Like, they get 90% attendance, you know, 90% plus. And Micah Parsons is not among that 90%. Now, yes, it is voluntary. And who wants to work when it's voluntary? However, if you want to say you're a leader of this team, then you take your behind to the star and you work out. Dak Prescott was in the contract talks and he showed up. CD Lamb showed up. You know, not last year obviously because he held out, but before that he showed up, and I'm sure he'll show up in a couple of weeks. So Zach Martin showed up. You know, unless it's a contract issue. So you want to be a leader, you have to show up to these things. And I think Micah is open to doing that, but the team is going to address it with him in contract talk. Now, there's something they can't put in writing because that's against the CBA. However, I think it's going to be suggested, hey, man, get your behind in here when we open up the doors officially.
Calvin, you've been doing this for a long time. You've covered a lot of players and teams. How big of an issue do you think the podcast thing is, and why would it be one? Is it a distraction? Do you think Micah is taken away from his actual football by doing this? Is how big of a deal is it?
I would say it's not a big deal, because you can do whatever you want on your off day, right? You know, you could go drinking all day on Tuesdays, which is the player's off day, and then as long as you come in on time on Wednesday morning,
yeah,
and you're prepared to play, what's the big deal? However, there's this, as I think all of us know, sometimes perception is reality. The optics doesn't look good. So sometimes you got to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this because there's this perception that it could be a problem. Some of my teammates think this is a problem, so I'm not going to do it. Paul George, who plays for the Sixers, he did an in-season podcast, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore because now people are talking about this instead of the main thing. That's basketball. So he stopped doing it. Now everyone's different. The old school in me says, don't do it.
Yeah.
Get ready to play football every week. On Tuesdays, go bowling. Tuesdays, take your girl out. You know, do something, but stop talking about the NFL on Tuesdays. So everyone's got their own way of doing things.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News here on The Fan.
So is it the time he is spending on the podcast or the fact that he's talking about other teams, other players, and this team? Because, like, to me, if you're spending 2 hours on the podcast or you're going bowling for 2 hours, there's no difference in that. The only difference is that one is public and then the other one you can kind of hide away from.
I think it's a little bit of both. But mainly, you're doing a podcast and you're talking about other teams. If you guys remember, he would come on Skip Bayless' show when it was on FS1, and then Skip criticized Dak.
Yeah.
And then they went, you know, then there was a big hype about, oh my goodness, here comes Micah, and then Micah canceled.
Yeah.
Right? Because he knew, hey, I'm getting paid by Fox, and now I'm going to get into it with Skip defending Dak. And that would become a bigger story, right?
Mm.
So he didn't do it. So that's an example of why you don't do these things, because things happen. You know, your quarterback throws 4 interceptions, and you got this podcast, people want to know what you think about it. You know, it's one thing after a game, because that's part of the job. It's another thing to say, I'm going to continue to talk about this thing on Tuesday. So I think it's a little bit of both, as I said, and the Cowboys really can't control it in a sense, but maybe they can.
Calvin, how would you describe Micah Parsons' personality and leadership in the locker room and the Cowboys' satisfaction level with it, if you had to guess?
Micah's a good guy. He's a good dude. He's a young guy. You know, he's got money, you know, and, you know, when you get money for the first time, you want to, you know, spend a little bit. It's okay. It's natural.
Yeah.
But he leads in a different way, right? He would say, hey, we're going to be in Oxnard, California for 24 days, so I'll bond my guys then, and that's where I'll show my leadership. Others will say leadership starts when the captain's workouts start in the spring. And Zach Martin, who recently retired, mentioned that. One of the things they didn't mention in the story that we wrote was when Zach Martin, who's probably going to the Hall of Fame, one of the most decorated offensive lineman in the history of the Cowboys, didn't mention Micah Parsons in his speech.
Mm.
You know, Micah Parsons was not there. You know, a lot of players were there, including DeMarcus Lawrence, right? I'm not saying that this is, you know, something going on with Zach and Micah. I'm not saying that at all. But when here is one of the most decorated players in the history of the game, he has like these 3 pages of copy written out about his retirement, so meticulous, he doesn't even have your name in there. And he mentions a lot of players.
Yeah.
You know, that says something. That was eye-opening to me. I was like, he didn't mention Micah. You know, mentioned Dak, mentioned CD, didn't mention Micah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. But I think some of these things can be worked out. I don't think it's the end of the world type of thing. I mean, look, I covered Terrell Owens when he was here, right? I covered Dez Bryant, you know, so there have been other guys who have been a little more combustible than Micah. You know, Jay Ratliff, all these guys. They're good guys, they're just a little combustible. So, but it can be worked out, I believe.
Calvin Watkins from the Dallas Morning News, join us here on 105 Through the Fan. You said there it can be worked out, you believe. Do you think this is something that rises to a level as an issue that it's going to be something the Cowboys talk about with him in his contract negotiations, that they'll address some of this. Hey, are you fully locked in, or do you have the best relationship with your teammates all the time? Do you think that's something that they'll broach with him?
I think so, yeah. When I was told at the combine, they are going to talk to him about, hey, you want to be a leader on this team? Get your ass to the facility when it opens up. I think he's got good relationship with players in the locker room. You know, him and CeeDee Lamb are very close. When Micah and Marcus Lawrence were going at it on Twitter or X, or whatever we call it now, Wanya Thomas defended Micah, you know. So they're all, I mean, it's not like it's 98% against Micah in the locker room, right? But it's clear that I'm sure there's some players in there that are like, hey, man, what's up with this podcast during the season, bro? You know, and I think that's something that has to be addressed. And yes, as I said, he comes prepared, he comes in shape, he's all of those things. But as you guys know, when you are going to command one of the highest contracts in the league, you got to do a little bit more.
So do you think if the team went to him and said, hey, here's your $45 million, but the podcast is gone, and I guess would Jerry even want him to cancel it because, you know, the publicity? But you know, do you think Micah signs up for that?
Oh, yeah. If they said, look, we're going to give you $45 million, you better tell Bleacher Report we're done, it's done. But I don't think the Cowboys would do that. I think the Cowboys would say, be mindful of what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, because look what it's drawing some attention here. Now, I agree with you. Jerry doesn't really care, per se, because all publicity is good publicity, right? But, you know, by him not showing up to the voluntary workouts last year, Mike McCarthy was a little, hey, what's going on here, bro? You know,
yeah.
I remember when he hired Mike Zimmer as the new defensive coordinator, Zimmer hadn't talked to him yet. And I don't know if Zimmer was upset, but you could tell Zimmer's like, you know, you probably need to be here. He's trying to show you some stuff, right? You know, but it's okay. It's okay. You know, being a pass rusher is not that complicated, right? Grady Hutt, go off the quarterback. You know, it's not brain surgery here, you know, but there's some philosophy things, that, you know, certain down this situation, we do different things. So there's some things you need to know, right? So just be there.
Calvin, do you have any doubt that a deal gets done? And what did you think of any of the trade talk regarding Parsons?
Well, I don't think the trade talk was legitimate discussions. The people that matter, and that's Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Will McClay, and the head coach, whether it be Mike McCarthy or now Brian Schottenheimer, I don't think they ever seriously thought about trading Micah Parsons. I think the trade talk came from lower levels of the organization that, hey, you know, maybe we trade him and get 3 first-round picks. Well, yeah, you will get 3 first-round picks. Micah Parsons, sure. but what are you trying to do? If you do that, you're saying we're rebuilding because might as well get rid of Dak Prescott, might as well get a CeeDee Lamb. Because you are rebuilding, right? You don't, you know, I've always been a big believer. You don't trade away talent, right? When they traded Amari Cooper a couple of years ago, I thought that was, me and Stephen Jones talk about this all the time. I thought that was a mistake. You just don't trade talent. You try to work it out as best you can because we have, in Micah's case, he's a generational talent. You got to keep him around. Now, if you're trading one generational talented player for another, okay, fine. That's cool. We're getting equal value here. But that's not what you do. So I don't think the trade talk was legitimate at all.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. The Cowboys have a Micah Parsons problem. I know you got this. We get this all the time. It's infuriating. Bobby is probably going to go off on it later in the show. What do you say when you get the, how much are you being paid? Here comes the hit piece, Calvin. What Jones timing? They're using you as the mouthpiece to bring down his value. What do you say to that person?
I say it's not true because he's going to get his money either way. And Micah has said during the season, do you want 38? Do you want 40 million per year? And Micah said, I just want enough for a lake house. David Mugaleta, who is Parsons' agent, I'm sure is looking at the numbers and saying, Miles Garrett, that's pretty good money, you know. So, the Cowboys knew this story was coming, right? you know, you give them a heads up, say, hey, this is coming out, and that kind of thing. And they thought the story was fair. Obviously, I'm going to think it's fair because I'm biased, right?
Will Micah be upset with you the next time you see him?
I don't think so. Because if Micah saw something, that's the great thing I like about Micah. If he sees something he doesn't like, he's going to say something about it.
Yeah.
You know, on X, or he'll see your locker room give you one of those looks, right? And then you can, and, you know, he's an adult. He'll talk to you about it. And he can work it out or whatever. So Mike was cool, you know. But in terms of what you asked me about, did the organization say you should write this? No, it doesn't work that way. Even though I did see some people mention that on X, but it's like, no, y'all crazy.
Calvin, the $50 million question is, why free up all this money if you're not going to spend it? What's your answer to that with how the Cowboys free agency has gone so far? And what did you leave the combine thinking with the draft coming up?
The Cowboys open up a lot of space for a couple of reasons. They look at the present and the future. So opening the space, they go, okay, we're going to sign a lot of guys in free agency. And there were a lot of small contracts for 1 year. I think Solomon Thomas, the only guy that got a multi-year deal of all the free agents they signed, I think it was 10 free agents they signed. So they free up space for that, and something might happen during the season. Oh, my goodness, we could trade for Amari Cooper, and then boom, you know, like they did a couple years ago, right, and absorb some of that money. And here's the funny thing about the NFL's cap space. You can carry over some space to the next year, right? So Micah's going to get his money this year, but the big hit will come next year. Then there's this guy named, I don't know if you've heard of him, Tyler Smith. He's going to get paid a big money deal because the guard market is rising in the NFL. And Tyler Smith is one of those guards. I remember running into his agent and I said, hey, man, you in the lake house? What's going on here with Tyler Smith, right? And he's like, you know. So you got to pay him at some point. So you're clearing up this space to carry over to the next year because, you know, Mike is going to take a big hit next year. That'll be the first year of his contract. And at some point, you got to take care of Tyler Smith. And then, hey, if Deron Bland has a fantastic year, the cornerback market has gone up too. And I don't think Deron Bland will demand that amount of money, but he becomes a free agent. So you got to take care of him. So, and then you got 10 draft picks, and who knows what you might get if you trade two picks for a player or something of that nature. So it's a complicated formula that works in the NFL. So when you hear about, oh, they clear up other space, well, it's for a lot of different reasons.
Love it, man. Thank you so much. Keep enjoying the harsh cigars, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Harsh cigars. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The great Calvin Watkins joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline, 105.3 The Fan. It's a Dallas Stars version of barbecue. It's a meat church hump day, with Matt Pittman. He joins us next.
Harley now hints right circle. In front, poked away, follow-up, score! Grandland!
It is a Dallas Stars version of a meat church hump day.
Hump day?
Here on
hump day.
Sean and RJ. That's our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, the Stars with the overtime win. And joining us live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube from some brand new headquarters.
Dude, look at this setup.
Look at the shirt. The brisket and chill.
Brisket and chill. Where are you, Matt Pittman?
I'm in the new Meat Church World headquarters in Waxahachie. Undisclosed location. Pretty excited about it. This is the first time we've...
Pretty disclosed in Waxahachie. Disclosed.
Yeah, we can find you there. We can find you, I'm sure.
So explain the setup. What is this?
Well, last year we decided that we would look into buying a new location for our employees and then warehouse and all sorts of things. So we ended up getting really lucky and buying a place that was just outside of the city on quite a bit of land. And we've got this super cool new office. And so, you know, we've got a lot of things up our sleeves right now. And I'll break the news here that a Meat Church podcast is about to launch. So we decided to work with a buddy that designs podcast studios and I'm sitting in it right now. It's about 95% done. It's not decorated yet. And normally the lighting won't be like I'm sitting on the sun, like so bright. But anyway, this is going to be a room that we host our podcast and participate in others in. And then, you know, anytime I'm talking with you guys, we can be in here in a professional setting and hopefully we'll sound pretty good after. Well, my staff isn't here to do this today, so it's just me. So it'll be better next time we're on here. But we're very, very excited about it. We got a lot of cool people that want to hop on and talk with us and thought, you know, why not take advantage of some of the well-known people we know and talk to them about cooking and things like that. So that's the plan and the space I'm sitting in.
Did you notice that very casual flex? My staff.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's got
I
his like staff it. Going and buying McRibs, like McRib samples. And Bobby, your family, staff. Did they stop by the
they
facilities?
They swung by Meat Church over the weekend. They were driving back up from, they were coming up from Waco, and they were swinging through Waxahachie. And she's like, is Meat Church open over here? I was like, should be. And so she swung through with the girls. I sent the picture over to Matt.
Super cool. Got the photo with the sign, you know, checked it off the list. I appreciate that.
Now, Matt, everyone knows you're now the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, but the other day you were hanging out with the Dallas Stars. And is this where Meat Church was actually discovered, with the Dallas Stars?
Not exactly. If people don't know, I was a game day equipment assistant, locker room attendant for 12 seasons, you know, basically 2000 on, had season tickets prior to that. So played hockey forever. So I'm a huge hockey guy at the core. And interestingly enough, like a lot of the guys that I started with are still there. One of my friends, Mark Janko, is the assistant GM, you know, started out the time that I did. And he was obviously not an assistant GM at the time and has worked his way all the way up to the top. And, you know, my friend Jason there brought me in. He's in, you know, started out in PR there, and he brought me in to cook for the team. He has been, you know, like once a year or so. Jamie Benn's the last player on the team that I had on my team. So it's always cool to go back and see him. And then there's a couple other guys on the team that I know. And so obviously we had a big trade deadline acquisition. So got to feed him as well. And it was a lot of fun. They signed a team jersey for us that we're going to hang up here in the new office. But yeah, I think what things you're alluding to, one of the coolest things that's ever happened in my life happened last week. I was talking to the staff about how guys like Mike Madonna and Bill Guerin were like buddies of mine back when I worked for the Stars. And that was before Meat Church. They don't know of Meat Church. And I was saying, I want to reconnect with them. And I was out of town this weekend, and out of nowhere, Mike Madonna texts me for the first time in like, I don't know, like 10 years. And he just randomly came across Meat Church looking at food stuff. So that was crazy cool. So I reached out to the staff and told them, and they said, well, funny enough, Bill Guerin reached out to us last night asking if the meat guy was the guy that used to work the locker room. So pretty full circle moment, and excited to go see the Stars play the Wild next week and hopefully get to reconnect with Billy G.
Do you know how to prepare any Finnish cuisine? Because they got the market cornered there.
Yeah, no, I don't. But they did all eat the barbecue and seemed to love it. So it goes over really well. They don't get to do that often, by the way. They only get to do it like on a 3-day break. And due to that trip to Finland, they don't have many 3-day breaks. They spent so many days overseas. So it was cool.
Matt Pittman, Meat Church Wednesday here on The Fan. So what is the hockey personality and appetite versus the football personality and appetite?
You know, I always tell people hockey players are my favorite athletes. And I said that when I worked for the team. They are generally the most humble, down-to-earth guys. You know, I used to say if they weren't playing hockey, they'd be, you know, Canadians working on a farm. But obviously a lot of European players today as well. But I don't know. It's just – it's interesting. There's nothing pretentious about it. You know, everybody's just so cool and normal and excited and – you know, don't feel like they're there for the lavish lifestyle that they could lead due to the money they make. So just great dudes. And, you know, only thing I've ever fed the Stars is barbecue. And we went straight down the middle of the road. We did Wagyu brisket, apple cherry habanero, pork belly burn-ins. We made some Texas Twinkies. We loaded with smoked cream cheese and brisket and glazed them. A bunch of sides. I've got a guy on my team, Gavin, that's a really good chef, and he made his homemade French silk pies that we loaded him up with. I'm pretty sure the nutritionist was in the corner crying. All this food on the table. So, yeah. But they loved it, man. They inhaled it. So it went over very, very good.
All right, the Meat Church video that's dropping today is Wild Hog. Tell us about that.
We've just had so many requests for wild game. And I think people are, you know, intimidated by wild game. And if you live in Texas, you know that hogs are invasive, feral species, and they're all over the place. A lot of people just shoot them, kind of drag them off or let them lay. And we shot some at the beginning of the year that were kind of on the higher end of ones you would think you could cook, because people have a belief that, you know, if they're huge, they taste bad. But we took one that was like somewhere around 150 pounds, pulled the loins out of the back. So like the whole loin, some people call it the tenderloin. It's actually a whole boneless loin. So we made a video on it today, or it releases today at 10. But if you don't hunt, you can just buy a pork loin at the store and apply the same lesson. So interestingly enough, these were the hogs that we shot to take to the private class we did for Chip and Joanna Gaines. Joanna actually requested, show us what to do with wild hogs. So that was the genesis of it. And it was so good, we decided, generally what happens, if we really love something, we decide to shoot a video on it. So we made like a homemade Cuban marinade, a mojo marinade, soaked the tenderloin in it overnight, and then just simply smoked it. It's probably literally the easiest thing you could ever make. If you just bought a smoker and want something to do, go buy a cheap tenderloin, and you can't screw it up with these instructions. So super delicious. Used our gourmet lemon pepper on it, which is something we don't talk about a whole lot, but people love it. And it was really, really good and pretty cool to go to my 12-year-old and say, here, try this. You shot this, and you know, teach him a good lesson there. So, yeah, it comes out at 10 o'clock today, and it's tasty.
So is that the same? You can do that for any pig? Because I bought a potbelly pig a few years ago, a little Jackie. Got it for $10.
Like a pet? Like a pet?
Yeah, you're talking about we keep it on a farm out in Rome. But so if I wanted to, that thing passes away. If I wanted to cook that up, I could cook that up.
Yeah. Is this like whole hog?
Same way?
Yeah. I mean, I really don't want to get into talking about what you're going to do with your pets, but yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, the muscle right along the backbone. So any pig will do, I suppose.
But he did mention there, he said, if this pig passes away, so this is not one that was killed in its prime or anything else. This is probably an old diseased pig. You're still making that one up. You're still eating that?
Very hairy.
I mean, if it's diseased, no. If it's old, you know, the older it gets, the look, can I just say this? Like, younger animals taste better. So we wanted to make a shirt.
I heard
forever
that.
Baby animals taste best, but we didn't want to get canceled. But yeah, if it's getting too old, you know, I can't guarantee you it's going to taste great, but you certainly could apply this lesson to it. Give it a shot and let us know.
Matt Pittman, it's a Meat Church Wednesday here on 105.3 The Fan. The official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. So you said you were out of town. I don't know whether you got the memo, but the Super Bowl was in February in New Orleans.
Yes, it was.
And it looked like you just went to New Orleans yourself and ate a lot better food than we did.
We did not eat, I don't believe, we did not get the best experience.
Yeah. I downgraded New Orleans on my food list. Definitely after this recent trip. Did you just go there?
Yeah, my daughter played volleyball there this past weekend, and we certainly, since it was also our spring break, we went a little bit early, you know, try to make the most of it. And if you ever travel with me, you're going to eat good. So I know some spots and then tried some new stuff. But New Orleans is one of my favorite food cities in the world. My wife and I went as soon as New Orleans reopened after Katrina. They were advertising here in Dallas, like, come to New Orleans. And we did, and we fell in love with it. And there's, you know, a lot of really good places. A lot of people just go down to Bourbon and do the touristy stuff, and it's dirty and nasty and stinks. But you get in the Garden District, and there's some good restaurants, and it was freaking delicious. I put a photo dump on our Instagram a couple days ago of like 20 different food photos. If I could talk, it was awesome, like delicious.
So last night I'm laying in bed, and the other day actually, when we did the expressway. A 10-hour drive or 20-hour drive, who would you listen to? Mm-hmm. And I had like Darius Rucker and John Party, in my top two. And my wife goes, hey, tell me about this barbecue event. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she shows me the social media pages of some cookout event happening where John Party's going to be there and big-time barbecue people, including my guy Brandon Hurtado. And I'm like, Matt, have you heard of this? I was looking up regular tickets, what it comes with, VIP tickets, and Matt, he wrote me back with a nice response saying, yeah, I'm actually the MC of the event.
Oh, wow! So,
what is this event I've never heard of?
You know, people come across these looks, and they're like, man, if we put you on stage, introduce some bands, you know, ladies are probably going to go crazy, and who am I to deny the crowd here in DFW? I am very excited about this, so... Sean, you know, you came to the Q Barbecue Fest for a couple years, which is gone. And I can tell you, this was booked while Q Barbecue Fest was still supposed to happen. And I saw it on the marquee at the Star. And I immediately realized this is what is known. The Windy City Smokeout in Chicago is a huge festival. This is the same company, and this is their Texas version of it. Windy City Smokeout has won an ACM. Like, it's a legit music festival with wow. great barbecue. A lot of my friends attend. Like you mentioned, Brandon goes to Chicago. A whole bunch of my friends go and vend their barbecue there for nearly a week. So they're doing the same thing here, first weekend in May. It's 3 days. The first headliner is Cody Jinks. You mentioned John Party's one, Midland's another, Randy Rogers is playing. A lot of great music, honestly.
Bobby's mouth just went wow. agape.
Pauly D is there.
Pauly D?
DJ Pauly D is Stop playing it. On Sunday.
You're yeah. saying like Pauly D.
No, that's what it says.
Pauly. Pauly.
Pauly, whatever. Hey,
Pauly oh, D. Yes.
That's, he's there. Pauly.
That's probably why my wife wants to go.
That's probably what it
is. I didn't have Bobby as a Jersey Shore fan on
Never
my
Never seen a second
card.
Of it. Never seen are. A second. I just Here know they are. Love it.
You know the hair. You know the hair.
But it is going to be a ton of fun. It's 3 days at AT&T Stadium. I know it's going to be a great time, and I know that as the years go by, this thing will. My guess is that it's going to grow to be huge. So this is like the major leagues compared to the festival that was there previously. So I'm super excited, very honored to be included in a part of it. So hopefully, I'll see you boys there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there as his VIP yeah. guest.
I know. Wait till yes. you see what these VIP tickets start with with the number that
oh, there's
this-
a comma.
No, it's not a comma.
It's not a comma.
Halfway towards a comma. Matt Pittman, Meat Church, every other hump day here okay. on 105.3 The Fan. Congratulations on the awesome new studio. The new video drops today, and we'll do it again next time.
All right. See you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother. Matt Pittman on the D&M Leasing Hotline, Fan Cam, Twitch, and Zoom as well. We have an Aaron Rodgers update and which of the Cowboys' first-round rehab projects has the best chance to hit. Next, in Below the Belt on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, boy. How is the Dallas Cowboys / Betty Ford Clinic going to operate with their attempt to rehabilitate some of these broken first-round picks? Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, a first-class buying experience. Before we do that, we got NFL news, NFL developments, and it's not going to make Aaron Rodgers happy. Aaron Rodgers, who has been seemingly sitting around, waiting around to be picked by the Minnesota Vikings. He wants to follow in his Brett Favre path. Aaron Rodgers has been seemingly waiting for that connection with Kevin O'Connell and putting off the Giants and the Steelers. Well, we get the report today. Tom Pelissero, he says the Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls on J.J. McCarthy, telling other teams they're moving forward with him as their quarterback. Sources say the team plans to add a veteran, but they are not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1, so now one part of the picture comes into view for Aaron Rodgers.
This never made any sense to me. I was worrying about my boy, the great Kevin O'Connell, and his quarterback evaluating mind. Aaron Rodgers is close to done. J.J. McCarthy is next. What are you doing, Minnesota? This did not make much sense to me as the Vikings. And while on one hand I was happy because I was going to claim victory over J.J. McCarthy not being very good because they were going to ship him off already and have this, mushroom-taking geezer take his spot, or ayahuasca, whatever it is. But it appears that the sanity has prevailed. No Rodgers to Minnesota.
No Rodgers to Minnesota. And look, the one way that I could see it making a little bit of sense is, are you concerned? You remember last year heading into the year, they weren't totally settled on was it going to be McCarthy or Darnold because McCarthy was a rookie. If the ACL, you feel like, delays that one more year, and you're just like, hey, Rodgers wants to play one more year, let's give him time. We know that Aaron Rodgers has developed a pretty good reputation of being an accessible teacher to quarterbacks. He's willing to help Jordan Love. He's willing to help Zach Wilson. Like, he's willing to be somebody who shares his knowledge. Then maybe they go, hey, this wouldn't be a bad thing to just let J.J. McCarthy sit back and be a sponge for a little bit.
No.
It's 2 years. You're ruining your window.
I think McCarthy's going to be a better player than Rodgers next year.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, look, that would be 2 years that you lost out of your 5-year window for your rookie quarterback. You're not managing the free cheat code if you do that.
So, common sense wise, J.J. McCarthy is out for what heading into next year? Is he good to go? Is he missing first 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
I would think he's probably good to go.
Yeah.
Because he tore his ACL in August. So you hope training camp he's able to start ramping up. But I would think he'd be ready to go for the beginning of the season. You just obviously don't know how is he impacted by that recovery from the ACL.
Josina Anderson adds to the Rodgers drama, saying Pittsburgh was feeling like they're getting close. And Tomlin was very adamant about getting DK. Clearly, he's still at the table over his dice on Rodgers. Now he has to bring it home. Well, Cam Hayward, longtime Steeler, he was on a podcast yesterday, the Not Just Football pod, and he was asked about Rodgers maybe coming to Pittsburgh.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
Okay, so first it was Schefter, then Albert Breer, Connor Orr on Sports Illustrated, and now it's Cam.
Yeah.
When was Rodgers officially released? A week ago?
Yeah.
Not even.
Maybe, yeah, right around there.
You know,
now look, we are going out on a limb defending him because let's not put it past that he's trying to drag this out to have a spotlight on him. He is an egomaniac.
It's not only possible, it's also probably likely.
Right.
Right. But, you know, I went back and looked. I mean, you know, Peyton Manning took 13 days. He did a tour. He visited 12 teams. Tom Brady didn't make a decision overnight to Tampa. We've seen this before with you know, and Rappaport even said the quarterbacks are different. Other positions have to gobble the money up right away. You don't, I mean, what other sport? I mean, I guess they all do because basketball does it. And I'm just so baseball centric that, like, you know, when you go on these pitches, when you're a free agent, you go to the facility. You go check out what the locker room looks like. It's just like recruiting in college athletics. But in the NFL and the NBA, you just take the money. You don't care where you go. Just the money is there, and you take the money. But, you know, LeBron dragged this out when he left Miami and it was decided between Miami and Cleveland. And then the first time when he left Miami, the decision, I mean, it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, when we are tomorrow will be the five-year anniversary of Tom Brady signing with the Bucks. He signed, you know, mid to late March. I can't remember how early he had gotten released. I felt like he had sat out there for a little while. Honestly, though, that if that's your pitch, Cam Hayward, that's an awful pitch. You want to be part of this or not?
Yeah.
I don't. No, that's why you have to sell me on why this works.
Like, you're
works.
The Chiefs. Like, you're sitting on titles, too. Like, you can afford to go with your quarterback situation that you've had over the past few years. And I wouldn't put it past Aaron. Like, he's so sensitive. He hears that, and it may factor in with him. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. A chip on his shoulder. He may just all of a sudden go play for the Browns now just to be able to play against them. Interesting note real quick before we go to the Cowboys stuff. We mentioned that they were interested in Aaron Rodgers. Did you happen to see who Mike Tomlin had a personal visit and dinner with yesterday?
No.
Oh, they figured out their quarterback problem.
Jalen Milroe.
And with those tiny hands and that cold weather, I don't know that that's going to be a great fit, but that sounds about on brand for Mike Tomlin to think, yeah, Jalen Milroe, that's our answer if we don't get Aaron Rodgers. Okay, the Dallas Cowboys have acquired a number of former first-round picks this offseason. They already got Solomon Thomas, who we played a little bit from. They brought back Dante Fowler. But really, the focus on the upside is on the three guys that they've brought in who have all been picked in the last 5 years. That's the defensive end, Peyton Turner. It's the linebacker, Kenneth Murray. And it's the cornerback, Kyer Elam. I think when we're looking at those and trying to figure out, all right, where are you going to get a hit from? Where would you find your best chance at somebody reaching their potential? If I told you you could pick which one of these it's going to be, which one of these positions? Because you got all three levels of the defense there. Which one are you saying, okay, if I can get that guy to become a success, give me him.
If I have my choice?
Yeah, if you had your choice to be able to pick him.
The corner.
Kyer Elam?
Yep.
Elam's the one who I think you're gonna be able to have the most certainty about Elam. Brandon Bean had talked yesterday he was talking about, Bills it was a press conference, the Bills GM was talking about, and he got asked about Kyer Elam leaving. And This is cut two here. Brandon Bean talking about how difficult it was to move on from Kyrie Elam.
That's a tough one, John. It really is. I'm going to get emotional because I love Kyrie. And I don't – it didn't work. And it stinks. And it's not, you know, it's not for a lack of effort, you know, on any side here. And the guy worked so hard. You know, he had some bad breaks. Like anything, there's probably things he feels like, man, if I'd made this play or that play, maybe that. You know, it's this game is about confidence, and especially that is a hard, hard position. And Kyrie had some good moments here. He really did. You know, whether some of the interceptions, I thought he had some good training camps. But in the end, you know, he and I had a conversation after the season about where he was going into his last year. And, you know, like anything, he knows the expectations and he's a competitor. It was hurting him to not play. And whether it was to be a healthy scratch or to suit up but not really get to get in the game. And ultimately, it's on me. You know, I made the selection that didn't work out, and I own that. And that's you don't want those to happen. But man, I'm rooting for Kyrie. I really am. I hope, you know, in the conversations I had with teams, you know, I really told them like you would be getting a great young man. And I mean, the guy worked so hard, and I think I'm confident. Maybe a reset for him. Give him a chance. I'm pulling for him. I think everyone at One Bills Drive hopes it works out for him.
That is a rare energy and tone from a GM that just traded a player. You don't usually have that sort of approach, but that to me is why I feel confident you're going to know this year right away. You're not going to spend a lot of time on Kyrie Elam. You're going to know if he's going to hit or not.
Well, you just said the word that I think was the problem in Buffalo if you listen to Bean, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is not the position.
No, you have to be. You have to think and know that you are not only the best corner, but the guy on the other side of you, the wide receiver, has literally no chance.
And the 40-yard gain did not just happen.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be gone out of the memory. Maybe a closer's mind.
A closer.
You know, that and quarter and corner. And if it's in your head and you're worried and you're thinking, because everything on paper about this kid, character, athleticism, size, everything on paper looks fantastic, but he mentioned the C word.
So that's the thing. If this change of scenery doesn't fix the confidence issues, like if he just got in a bad way in Buffalo, if they get here and you just see it's the same player, you know what he is. And you'll have your answer, and you don't have to linger with that too long. The best upside potential for them here is Peyton Turner, the defensive end. That's a guy who, if he's healthy, his biggest problem has been health a lot of times. If he's healthy, he's somebody who should have a pretty decent chance to perform well, because he's just always been a very high upside, great traits. He's a 6'5", 270-pound defensive end with 35-inch arms. I mean, the wingspan is like 84 and a half. It's absolutely insane.
My linebacker is going to make the biggest impact of the no-names, baby. Sanborn.
You called it. Yeah, that's going to be your guy.
I'm calling it right now because of Mark Carmen in Chicago.
I'm going to call him Jack Sanborn.
Ah, I see what you did there.
You liked it, didn't you?
You got nicknames as good as Dawson does.
I like that one.
B-Lo, the belt on the Home of the Cowboys hump day edition of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. I'm almost done filling out my bracket.
Oh!
Where are you with yours? Choppy has all your degenerate tips. The University of Texas is the darling of the sports bettor and the Texas team most likely to pull that first round upset. College basketball degenerate to kick off the final hour after this.